Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, what up? How we doing today? Teke and Tierney ready to go on this Monday around the country. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. CBS Sports Radio here. Coming in from our Rocket Mortgage studio, when you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We got a lot to hit today. Drew Brees making a little news over the weekend. J.J. Watt finding a new home. Mac Jones' draft profile soaring. Does it match the talent? We'll hit that. And some college hoop stuff from over the weekend. And something about a little ratio that I have somehow found myself involved in on Twitter. Teke, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
All's good, man. No complaints.
Good. Well, I believe that we have another phase in the evolution of the discontent of Russell Wilson. Can I take you through something here?
Yep, let's go.
So, I mean, it really is amazing with Russell. We told you last week, it's getting real, obviously. Phase one. Tell the entire world that you're unhappy, and he did that with Dan Patrick. That was phase one. Phase two, do nothing in the ensuing days to combat the tsunami of stories and speculation and coverage to what you said a couple of days before on Dan Patrick's show. So phase one, tell the world. Phase two, sit back, basically, and let everybody do your work. Phase three, all right? Have your agent leak that you want to stay. He is a Seattle Seahawk, and this is where he wants to be. Unless, of course, you know, there's four other destinations that we would certainly entertain. And now we get to phase four. And what's interesting about phase four is that seemingly from the last news cycle, four destinations has now been whittled down to one in terms of reported or alleged interest, right? And now, through somebody that we know well, we had him on the show last week, through somebody that everybody in football circles trusts, obviously the great Peter King from NBC, now we know why he apparently wants the Bears. So each day or each week, a little more clarity, a little more focus, a little less nebulous, the discussion can be less nebulous.
Yeah.
We have a sense of what's going on
now. It's getting, I don't want to say annoying, because I guess anybody's entitled to say and do what they want, and they can view themselves however they please. But it's getting kind of annoying, to be fair, BT, because we don't know what Russell Wilson really wants, because he hasn't come out and said it specifically. It's been intimated through intermediaries and his agent and, you know, obviously us and everyone else in the media world speculating about what could be going on with Russell Wilson. But it feels like he has this obsessive control with his legacy, or wants to have this obsessive control with his legacy. And he knows that by staying in Seattle, they're unlikely to, you know, jump through that Super Bowl window and win one again. And no matter how good he is, even if he does eventually get an MVP vote, when he stacks himself up against his peers 20 years from now, or however, whenever it is he retires and he's in the Hall of Fame, because he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yep.
But in his mind, he's going to be ticked lower than all of those guys in his peer group because he didn't accomplish X, Y, or Z, whatever it is he wants to accomplish. And it seems like now we know what that X, Y, and Z is. He wants to be known as a franchise savior, even though he kind of was that with Seattle.
He was.
Because I don't remember Seattle winning any Super Bowls before Russell Wilson or even going. No, I think They did. But anyways, I don't remember it. My point is, Russell Wilson has built a great legacy in Seattle,
yeah,
but it seemingly isn't good enough for him. And mm-hmm. so he's looking elsewhere.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm not really even that annoyed, because if he didn't go on the Dan Patrick Show and say what he said and not end the interview with "Go Hawks," which we know is a staple, which he knew we would all deduce as, you know, a deeper fracture within the franchise, the relationship that was strategically placed, or should I say strategically taken out of the interview. He's no dummy. He's a razor sharp young man. His messaging's always on point. He's like a modern Jeter. That's the analogy that I used the other day on the show. Everything was incredibly, packaged in a way that you can control. Like Jeter never... The only time it got a little sideways, and nobody blamed him for this, it was just, was the Mariah Carey stuff. Like, George didn't like, I guess they didn't like Mariah Carey. They didn't know if she was going to have a great influence, whatever. Other than that, I mean, there was nothing salacious. There was no even real public contractual squabbles. A little bit at the end with Cashman, when Cashman had to basically tell him you're no longer a superstar. The point being, Russell Wilson, to me, is the modern Derek Jeter in terms of messaging and how he presents himself. And while he hasn't directly said, to your point before, that he wants out of Seattle, everything that he told Dan is telling us that he wants out of Seattle, and we need to be smart enough to take him at his word. What? When you bag on teammates, you're basically saying, I don't really need to be here anymore.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Well, the reason it's...
Believe him.
Here's the reason it's annoying to me, BT, is because what happened to just being great at what you do and helping a team rise?
LeBron James happened. What happened.
Yeah, but that's basketball,
man. But it's still an athlete. It's a contemporary.
I understand it. He's an athlete, but it's a different sport, where in the NBA, one guy can literally change a team's fortunes from average to well above average. Mm-hmm. And if you bring in another star, then there's a good chance you can win a championship. The NFL is not that way. It never has been, and it never will be that way. You have to be...
Unless you're Tampa.
Yeah, but they were already built. You know what I mean? Think about how good they were last year. They've been the number one defense against the run, at least, and in top five for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Their problem has been Jameis Winston's a turnover machine. And so they literally changed one guy in quarterback. Well, if they got Gronk and then AB and all those other guys as well. But you know what I mean? They changed their quarterback, and it changed their fortunes. But that's rare.
But did the Bears go 4-12 last year and I missed the memo?
No, not at all.
The Bears were a playoff team. If they would have hit on that trick play, which is a great throw by Trubisky, who knows what happens in that game? Yep. We could sit here and say...
But were they winning a championship?
I'm not saying, but I hear you.
Were they winning the NFC?
I don't know. So. If Russell Wilson's making those throws, they might. I mean, to sit here and say that the Bears are devoid... Not that you're saying, I'm just saying in general. Like, completely off the radar of relevance. They were a playoff team in a stacked NFC with the Bucks, with the Saints, with Seattle, with the Rams. I mean, you had some teams. So we can't sit here and pretend that the Bears are just a dysfunctional mess. They may have been dysfunctional or at least misguided, better word, in how they moved up to get Mitch Trubisky and what their GM has done and their coach. We can have that conversation. But the Chicago Bears are not some floundering, inept franchise like my Jets have been.
No.
They're not.
Not at all. But I think what he's saying is he wants to go someplace like Tom Brady did, like Peyton Manning did, and lift them to championship quality or championship caliber. The reason I keep saying this annoys me, BT, is because you need to do that in Seattle.
But he already did it.
I know, but do it again.
Hey, you know I don't think he feels respected. That's, I think, the origin of this, Deke. I don't think he feels respected.
I don't know if I can agree with that.
I'm not saying that I even know that to be fact, but everything he said and intimated, it seems like there's just a lack of trust
yeah,
and or respect.
Yeah, he believes, and this is what you've also heard, that Pete Carroll and his family, because his sons are are coaches there, answer to no one. So it's basically Pete's way or no way, which, you know, honestly, some of the best coaches in football, that's how it's been. Bill Belichick has been that way, mm-hmm. right? Bill Parcells was certainly that way. Tom Coughlin was that way. And Andy Reid is likely that way as well, in a sense. And so I don't know if that's an anomaly or it's so foreign to successful coaches. But I think this goes down to what we talked about last week, BT. Russell Wilson wants to be an elite quarterback.
Right? He
wants, I know, but he wants to be viewed as an elite quarterback, not someone who relies on the run game to win a football game, not okay. someone who relies on the defense to, you know, cover up for, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. He wants to be the guy. Like, the reason that the Seahawks win is because of Russell Wilson. And with Pete Carroll's mindset and offensive system, it's never going to be that way. Pete is never going to be a throw the ball 60 times a game guy. He never will be. He never was, and he never will be. He tried it for half the year this year, and it worked to an extent until Russell got, you know, wobbly, and then he went right back to what he knows best.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if that's what you're complaining about, mm-hmm. then I think that's kind of weak, to be honest with you, because Pete Carroll's a hell of a coach. He may need to do some adjusting, but he's fired two offensive coordinators for Russ, and now he's likely to bring in another one. Like how much do you need? Do you need to go get your own coordinator? Do you need to bring in your own receivers, mm-hmm. your own offensive line? You're the quarterback, man. Okay. You're not the GM.
See, that's interesting, because and I'm neither fully with Russell Wilson mm-hmm. in this whole thing, nor am I fully against Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
The answer is probably somewhere in between.
Of
course. And since you bring up Pete, yes, he's got the championship. He also had previous head coaching stops, none of which were incredibly memorable.
Except in college.
Well, I'm not talking about USC.
Yeah, I know.
I'm talking about the NFL. One was with my Jets when they lost every game in December. That was the fake spike year with Dan Marino, 1994. Look it up. Jets were cooking. And I think it was actually a five-game December, one of those quirky mm-hmm. occurrences. And I know we lost our last five games, no playoff, whatever. The point is that he resurrected his career to the point of an elevation of a standard that is now thought to be, and rightfully so, a Hall of Fame coach. Nobody yep. disputes that. But their defense, right, which got marginally better as the year went on, Pete Carroll's an offensive or defensive guy.
Defense.
He's a defensive guy. Yep. He's a defensive guy. And their defense stunk, okay?
But defense is so much about talent, right?
I understand that.
So much of it is. I mean, we overemphasize scheme. Oh, this guy's got a great scheme. You got terrible players, you're going to have a terrible
defense. But does he not have any influence on who they draft? I guarantee he does.
No, without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
So, I mean, to sit here, not you again, but to sit here and think anybody that Pete Carroll is beyond reproach at the age of 70 when you compare, not ageism, just the reality of it, when you compare that, like the merits and the importance of a 32-year-old quarterback who was, again, 40 years younger, I'll say what I said on Friday. If I've got to make a decision and I own Seattle, see you later, Pete.
Yeah, that's
not going to happen.
That's an apples and oranges.
But nor should they trade Russell Wilson.
No, I don't think
so at
all. They
got to figure this out.
Look, Russ is clearly putting pressure on the Seahawks. To what end? I'm not exactly sure, unless mm-hmm. he is dead set against playing there, which I don't think is the case. This is not a Deshaun Watson type situation where he is so disgusted with ownership and everything that's gone on over the last few months that it disgusts him to even put on a Houston Texans uniform. He doesn't even have it on his social media and scrubbed all of his, you know, mentions of the Houston Texans. It's not mm-hmm. like that, but mm-hmm. there is some pressure being put on the Seattle Seahawks by Russell Wilson. And I just, I don't know. I find that not a good look for Russ, because he's not in a position where he needs to go reinvent himself. He's not Tom Brady at 42 years old saying, you know what? I had a 2-decade unbelievable run with the New England Patriots. The program is in rebuild mode, and it just doesn't fit what my goals are right now. It's time for me to go south and go to Tampa.
Yeah.
But that's where Russell is. Like he's trying to, I don't know, he's trying to throw himself in these other realms.
I got no problem with that.
That I don't think he's in right now, because
he'll never be in it if he stays in Seattle, I guess is what he's thinking.
Yeah, but
and
why?
I respect that.
Look, nobody's ever going to get to Brady's point status.
No,
right? But who's next on that list? Is it Aaron Rodgers? winning an MVP, but only one championship as well.
And multiple MVPs.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
No, I got you. I got you.
I said one championship. Multiple MVPs, but also multiple years of from being one of the great quarterbacks. Mediocrity, to be honest with you, right? And so is it Big Ben? Like, who are you comparing yourself to, Russ? And if it's because you want to be Tom Brady, let me tell you something. You're not getting there.
No.
No matter what you do. Even if you go to Chicago, you're not winning a championship there. So, I mean,
but let me ask you a question. And I'm not even saying that you're wrong. He's never catching Tom Brady. And if that is his life mission, he is going to die, hopefully at the age of 105, a very disappointed man because he's never going to actually tangibly touch his quest. If that's his quest, big if, I don't know. However, that doesn't mean, and it's okay for you and I to say that because that's our job. We watch the sports, we elevate, we put in the proper tiers, we associate championships and MVPs and resumes, and we do what we do every day, and that's fine. But if I'm Russell Wilson, you got to put yourself in his shoes for a minute. If I'm Russell Wilson, I'm not waking up saying, first of all, I'm 5'11", and I got to the NFL, and I'm a superstar. So it tells you right away he's not taking no for an answer. I'm not waking up on any given day, if I'm Russell Wilson, saying, man, there's no way I could ever top Tom Brady. I'm waking up, and I'm bouncing out of bed, and I'm saying, hell, I don't care what anybody says. It is my quest to catch this guy. And that's where you and I invariably will say, whenever his career is over, you fell short. But that doesn't mean that Russell Wilson's got to think that.
Do you think Tom Brady?
I respect that.
Do you think Tom Brady woke up every day saying, I want to catch Joe Montana?
No, Tom Brady woke up with a different element of being possessed. And that was the detractors.
Yeah.
Much like Russell Wilson coming out of school, middle round pick, sixth round pick for Brady, barely drafted. There's a lot of similarities there. Like, their football DNA, while their sizes and body types are different, skin color different, they're really not that dissimilar. And I find it fascinating, and I'm cool with it. I mean, as long as it doesn't get out of control where he's holding them hostage before the draft, like, then I would say, all right, well, we got to be professional here. But right now, all these athletes across the world are letting their handlers or their camp speak for them if they're not happy to, you know, elevate their position, go to a different team, make more money, whatever it might be. Russell Wilson's doing the same thing. He's playing by the rules of the modern athlete. Big deal.
This just feels like strongly to me, be careful what you wish for, and the other cliche, the grass is not always greener. This is what it just feels like to me.
I got you. But that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
That's not when you say.
But that's exactly the conversation.
I don't think it is.
I think Russ wants to be someplace else because he's tired of not having the control that he believes he deserves in Seattle.
Yeah.
And so he said he thinks he's going to go someplace else, say Chicago, and all of a sudden they're going to say, Russ, you're our savior. Tell us who you want. We're going to go draft this guy. We're going to pick up this player in free agency. You're going to lead us to the promised land.
I think they would.
No, there's no chance in
hell
that
happens. I think they would. They let Mitch Trubisky throw it 30 times a Sunday. They're not going to let Russ throw it 40.
Head coaches are some of the most egotistical men on the planet.
Yeah.
General managers are probably more egotistical than they are.
Yeah.
There's no way. They don't even know Russ.
Wade Batique
is going to let Russell Wilson, a quarterback who's being paid $35 million a year, come in and say, you're going to build our roster for us and we're going to win a Super Bowl with you. It's just not going
to. Unless you're a general manager who's hanging by a thread and is about to get fired, which Ryan Pace is.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Okay. It's interesting. I hear you. We're not going to solve it today. It's just every week, every couple of days, there's something with Russ and it gets a little bit more detail, a little bit more well-sourced, well-chronicled. It's good stuff. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm not so sure this next conversation will be deemed good stuff. They still apparently, if they can't get Russell Wilson, if they can't have that happen, they apparently think that Nick Foles could be the quarterback and they could actually do something with their season next year?
Yeah, for a couple games.
What? Why are they thinking this? We've got to intervene. We'll do that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hope you had a great weekend. CBS Sports Network as well. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Next hour, Drew Brees just pushing the sleds to stay in shape for the, for the family trip to Disney, whatever. Or is he maybe thinking of sticking around and trying to play next year? We'll actually get to that coming up next hour. Inbounds, out of bounds, next segment. And I got a lot of stuff sprinkled in between. Pretty wild weekend in college hoops. J.J. Watt's new team. We'll bounce around, hit you up, obviously, get you set up with everything that's going on. All right, listen, it is not my intention, so I'm certainly not going here, to denigrate Nick Foles. He is one of, at various points, multiple various points in his career, 32 human beings to be good enough to lead 10 other men out of a semicircle up to the line of scrimmage, call a play, and throw a football. All right, so, I mean, the guy's obviously...
And win a Super Bowl.
Yes, and what a Super... And it's a statue outside of the stadium.
Is it still there? I don't know if it's still there.
Yes, of course it's there. Would they can take it down?
Yeah, because it was a promo with one of the banks around there, and I don't know.
Almost positive
I'm going to assume that it's still there, but... Because it was him and Doug Peterson.
And Peterson.
Who were both no longer there.
So. And then in the background, you see like Carson Wentz putting his head like there's between their legs. Like, yo, remember me? I used to be the starter.
I was the man.
I was the man. I'm not trying to take shots at Nick Foles. He's he is what he is. I mean, just look at his stats. And there's been some good. There's been some bad. There's been some injuries. There's been a lot of different teams. Whatever. It's been a bit of a transient NFL career. But I will say this. If forget about Nagy. It's not really his call. If... Ryan Pace thinks, with his job security, as precarious as it absolutely is going into next season, if he enters the 2021 NFL season and Nick Foles is number one on that depth chart, and there's not like a top, like they somehow like move into the top 10 and draft like Mac Jones, he's out of his mind and he deserves to get fired at that point.
So I don't think this is about that. I think this is more about... trying to find value for Nick Foles, because let's forget, Nick has another year on his contract. Now they could just eat it and, you know, move on from him, but I think this is we love Nick. He probably is a great backup and will be one of the great backups next year as well, even if he has to start early for some team or even Chicago for that matter. I think they're trying to inflate his value and try to, you know, move him off somewhere. You're starting to see the same thing, interestingly, BT, even though he's not a starter at all and didn't even start any games this year, with Marcus Mariota and the Oakland Raiders. They know that they, because of the deal that they signed him, it's kind of punitive to have two quarterbacks with, I mean, basically taking up probably 20%, maybe 24% of your cap next year if you're the Las Vegas Raiders. And so they're trying to find trade partners for Marcus Mariota. I think the same thing is happening with Nick Foles. But with that said, you know, let's look at the Bears quarterback situation. Let's say this Russ thing doesn't happen and it's just a pipe dream by Russ and, you know, his desire to turn a franchise around and, you know, make it historically great again and then ease his way right into the front office and then ownership with him and Ciara's money. Like, he's making this plan like years down the line and he's still living his moments now, which is, that's what's frustrating to me.
Well, I think a lot of people do that though, Teak.
I don't think so.
You and I do it. We're on the air. We don't have 401ks? Of course we do.
Yeah, of course. I'm talking about execution of your job. In his job security depends specifically on whether or not he does his job. And so I don't know.
Wait, Russell Wilson's bothering you these last couple weeks, huh?
It's just not what we're used to seeing from athletes.
I'm usually the one who gets annoyed. And you're getting annoyed at this.
Because it usually happens.
I like it.
It usually happens organically. Yeah. Think about the guys who have done this. And there aren't many of them, BT. John Elway is one. It happened organically. He was an icon in Denver, and he peaced out after winning two straight Super Bowls. I mean, okay, I want to get in the front office, you know, Mr. Bolin. Oh, come right ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll forgive you for drafting bad quarterbacks for 5 years or whatever it was. Think about John Lynch.
Yeah.
Right. The way that happened
from the booth.
Yeah, but it was. Like it was a process. It was even when he was playing, we did an Thuzio event with him a couple weeks ago, right before the Super Bowl actually. And he was telling, I was like, how did that even happen? And he's like, I've always been interested in personnel. So even when I was at the end of my career, he started like going to talk to his general manager. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Jason Light. I can't remember who it was at that point. Maybe it was McKay. It's probably Rich McKay.
Light would have been.
Yeah, like
I think that's the end
there.
Of McKay at that point.
Yeah, and so anyways, he started to find like this interest in personnel.
Yeah,
when he was playing, and then when he went and joined the booth, he hooked up with Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan and he would just kind of, you know, bounce ideas off of one another. He as an analyst. right, in the studio, and Shanahan as an assistant coach. And then when Shanahan got the head coaching job, it kind of just happened. You know what I mean? And so it's almost by accident that these things happen, or excellence at what you're doing, not by intentionally
manipulation.
Saying, yeah, I mean, it's like he's manipulating. I think that's probably the word that frustrates me about this. He's trying to manipulate his future by undermining his future, his current. Right, that's weird to me.
Well, undermining his current, not I don't see it that way at all. One
BT,
thing too,
is he not undermining the Seattle Seahawks right now?
No, because they haven't done anything yet.
Yet, but there's clearly disruption and it's not copacetic in Seattle. If Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback, because they have no intention of trading him, because if they trade him, what the heck are they doing next year, right? If he comes back, now all of a sudden he's in this locker room and half those guys are like, yeah, you want to control to get rid of us? Like, all right, cool.
Not
Russ.
Ideal. Not
you
ideal.
You know what I mean? He's undermining it.
You know, I mean, listen, honestly, if half those offensive linemen are gone, that'll be a good thing. Because they're not very good.
True, but not if Russell Wilson's telling the owner
manager. We talked about that.
These guys need to be gone.
I understand that. The one thing I wanted to bring you back real quick, not to spend too much time on it, but about maybe the Bears, because we started the segment about Foles here and his viability as a starter. Still, apparently, they still view him if he's got to be a starter, that they can, they can enter the season with that if they had to, which I certainly wouldn't recommend. But when you say that. They're trying to, build up his perception around this isn't Sam Darnold, who the Jets could trade, and we can say, get Sam some talent. Maybe Nick Foles has been around 10 years. Everybody knows who he is.
Agreed.
Who in the Bears going to fool?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Nobody, which is why I was started.
That's why I believed them.
Which is why I started.
Which is scary.
Which is why I started to say, all right, well, let's look at their situation. Maybe they can re-sign Mitch Trubisky. I doubt it. But at the very least, they're holding on to Nick Foles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if they sign Trubisky, they basically are running it back with the same mediocrity that they had last year. So there's no chance that's happening. And so if one of them has to go, who do you think it is? It's Mitch, who doesn't have a contract. Foles has a contract. And so they'll play it from there. He'll be their guy because there's no one else. And then they'll play it forward from there. The question will be, who can they draft? Or who comes there in free agency with some of this quarterback movement that we talked about a lot over the last couple of months.
Well, that gets us to our next segment, Inbounds, Out of Bounds, talking about player movement. The Niners apparently inquired about a quarterback on a team now, and maybe the quarterback we're about to get into an Inbounds, Out of Bounds can actually wind up going to Chicago if Russell Wilson doesn't wind up there, if they don't bring back Mitch Trubisky, if Nick Foles winds up being somewhere else. I mean, the carousel is just starting to crank up in terms of velocity. So Inbounds, Out of Bounds next. We'll get to that. Axe update is right now. Drew Brees stuff coming up in hour two. Ack, right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up in a moment. First, though, it is time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy at this point. Drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros so we'll see it. It'll stick out. Make sure you stick around and listen later on. We'll take the best one. We will answer it, debate it, address it, whatever. And I'll give you some props on the air as well as we do that right before we get out of here, right around 6 Eastern, before that slightly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up in a moment. Next hour, all right, Drew Brees gearing up. Not sure what he's gearing up for, but he's gearing up for something. And Mac Jones surging up everybody's draft board. Is it right? I mean, does it match? Does the talent match the recent draft profile? We'll get to that. But right now, little in and out. Tiki, you ready to roll?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, partner, here we go. So there were 7 NFL head coaching vacancies this offseason, as we know, but only 2 were filled by minorities, with David Culley got the job in Houston, Robert Saleh with the Jets. Come on, Rob, bring it home, baby. However, despite that lack of diversity with head coaches, the number of minority hires for open positions in the NFL nearly doubled from 19% in 2020 to 35% this year. And interview requests for minority candidates increased from 22 to 47%. So a good surge in the right direction. In or out, the NFL is making the right strides toward minority hiring.
I'm going to say inbounds, BT. I think it's just been moving really slow with the head coaching ranks, in the head coaching ranks. But again, a lot of that is just changing the perception and the understanding from an ownership, a general manager standpoint. And as we get more African-American black general managers,
yep,
you're going to see them hiring coaches who they identify with maybe a little bit better. And so I'm going to say, yeah, there has been progress. It's just been frustrating on a head coaching level. But that doesn't mean that they haven't been doing a fantastic job.
They're trying. It's not perfect yet. But listen, the way the question's framed, are they making the right strides or are they making strides? And based on the percentage a night, you know, we're not talking about a 2, 3, 4 incremental bump. When you go from 19% to 35% in a year in terms of overall hirings, that is
a big deal.
That is a big deal. That's palpable movement right there, which we can't ignore. It's not perfect, as I said. Somebody like Eric Bieniemy still doesn't have a job. It's confounding. Yep. It's baffling. It's frustrating. You know, I think we're in a much better place. The dialogue is real rather than superficial. All right.
Exactly
rather than,
right.
You know what I mean? Rather than just trying to placate, appease people, let's say this and move on. There is a substantive conversation being had, and it's directly correlated to the spike in percentage of hiring. So it's a great first step. We're not there yet. But yes, I do believe that it's going in the right direction. Some strides have been made so far. Yes.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teek. The Niners have said all the right things about our buddy Jimmy G, but rumors have swirled all offseason about the team's desire to upgrade at the quarterback spot. Now The Athletic is reporting the Niners called the Panthers about a potential trade for Teddy Bridgewater, wow, as a starter or even as a backup to Jimmy G. So, Teddy B, he would be an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, in or out? What you
out
got?
Out of bounds. This is out of bounds, BT. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a much better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater, but I think their interest lies more in having an alternative to Jimmy Garoppolo should he get hurt, or they deem that he's not, you know, healthy enough to be their guy going forward, so they can shed that contract and then have a bridge quarterback in Teddy B before they find ultimately who their, to use the cliched word, franchise guy ultimately is going to be. So I'm going to say out of bounds and from a real deal type of standpoint.
Yep.
But I think this is more strategic than it is a replacement for Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think your instincts are on point, and I'm kind of sharing the same thing. My answer is out of bounds. This is not plan A, where it's, you know, delete Garoppolo, insert Teddy Bridgewater, go try to get back to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I believe that you're absolutely right. This is more about, all right, do we have something under our sleeves or up our sleeves where we're getting prepared to jump in to top 10 on the draft board and draft somebody?
Yep.
You know, do we trade for Sam Darnold? If that doesn't work out, you have Teddy Bridgewater. That's been a rumbling as well. But, you know, measuring the quarterback against the quarterback and not the circumstances, Jimmy Garoppolo is simply more talented, more gifted. He is just flat out better than Teddy Bridgewater. So when I frame it and when we frame it that way, the answer is out of bounds. But as you and I both said, there's definitely context there, and I think you have to weave that into your answer.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teek, let's stay in the NFC West here. It's going to be a beast of a division. You kidding me? Former three-time DPOY, that's J.J. Watt, picked his new team. Signed with the Cardinals, bit of a surprise today. And that has obviously reported by the great. Nobody breaks news like J.J. Watt. I mean, forget about paying Schefter $20 million. J.J. Watt should be the new insider for them. Watt was rumored to be interested. The Bills, we heard a lot about that. The Packers, remember when he announced his retirement?
Yep.
He had the Wisconsin sweatshirt on. Obviously, fueling speculation.
Didn't his wife play in Chicago, like soccer or something?
That I'm not sure about.
I think his wife.
I know she's a pro athlete. I don't know where she plays.
I think she's in Chicago, but
she
that,
could be.
That one popped up also.
All right. But instead, and also the Browns were in the mix there.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he's going to play in the desert alongside Chandler Jones, Isaiah Simmons, Buda Baker, terrific defensive player. In or out, Watt would have been better off in Cleveland, Buffalo, or Green Bay? Good question.
It is a good question, but I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he's good in Arizona. Arizona is a team that we know is not there yet, but a veteran leader regardless of what side of the ball it's on, but certainly on the defensive side, is only going to help them. Now, I'm not saying he's going to return to, you know, his 16 to 18 sack years from, you know, half a decade ago.
Yeah.
But I do think he can be impactful, a new spirit, and, you know, he's very invigorated in a new city. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is his leadership ability he's going to bring to this team, which is young, has had a lot of turnover over the last few years. I think it's actually a good fit for him. Not that he's going to win a championship here, but I think it's a good fit for him.
I don't think it's a bad fit at all, and we mentioned some of their defensive players, Simmons, Baker, Chandler Jones, but I don't think it's the best fit. However, you know, would he have been better off somewhere else? In the football sense, I can certainly make the case yes, and I'm going to answer it in the football sense, so I'll say inbounds to directly answer it, but if J.J. Watt wanted to be with the Cardinals in Arizona, then that's what is the best thing for J.J. Watt, so kind of conflicted. Am I answering it from my seat, which is how I choose to answer it, or what J.J. Watt's thinking?
Yeah.
He obviously signed with the team he wanted to sign with here. He's also buddies with DeAndre Hopkins. We all know that. Their previous relationship with Houston. Again, if he wants to win a Super Bowl, and he obviously does, then looking at the three teams, Green Bay, Buffalo, and Cleveland, I believe all have higher priority on that list for the Cardinals. But don't sleep on Arizona. Remember, you know, I was all over this Kyler Murray being in the MVP race a year ago, and there were spurts early where he was. Then he hurt his shoulder. Then he stopped running, and then they became a pedestrian team.
Yeah.
They finished 8-8. His stats plummeted. His running was pretty much non-existent. Kyler Murray is a beast. So just because they're in the best division in football, most competitive for sure, just because they were 8-8, and I think viewed through that prism, others will associate, they're not really yet ready to win. You have to incorporate Kyler Murray's injury because that was a big part in their step back. They were, 5-2 or whatever they were, 6-3 at one point. They were really good at one point.
They beat Seattle. I mean, they had the ability to win any game on any Sunday.
That's right.
But once he got hurt, he was a shell.
Yeah, they became a very pedestrian team. Now, the onus is on Murray to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. The onus is on the head coach now in year three to become a definitive asset. I think we need – I don't know if we really know what Cliff Kingsbury is yet. We need to know early next year that this guy is an asset and not just along for the ride. I don't know the answer to that yet. I'm not saying he's not, but I don't know the answer. But I would have liked a different team for Watt, but don't sleep on the Cardinals.
Yeah, by the way, his wife does play for the Chicago Red Stars.
There you go. Maybe Russell Wilson's going to get season tickets.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, this was a good game. I was watching. It's funny. I clicked over. I was watching some golf. I was doing some other stuff with the family. I watched almost the entire second half, and that fourth quarter, talking about the Bucks and the Clippers, my eyes did not leave Giannis.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about some fourth quarter shortcomings for years now. Big moment for Giannis, good win for the Bucks. They've reeled off 5 straight wins. After losing 5 straight, they've now won 5 straight, and they won by 5 yesterday over the Clippers. In those 5 wins, Giannis, over the 5-win span, averaged 36 points, 14 boards, including 17 in a very decisive fourth quarter last night. Capped off, he had a monster dunk to seal the win. I think his most impressive play was the block, by the way, on Zubac, which was insane.
Well, and the one on Kawhi where he came from behind.
And the one on, no doubt. But the one on Zubac, and Doris Burke had it right. First of all, there's not many guys who are going to actually be able to, because Zubac had he's a big dude.
Yep.
2 hands were cocked back and he was coming hard. So not only did he actually do something that very few, if anybody else, will do, but her point was, how many guys were even throwing themselves in the middle of the rim? I don't know if anybody would actually. Yeah.
He sighted the ball perfectly. He stuck his hand right between his 2 hands.
Yeah, he could have had digits crushed. He could have been wrecked. He could have been posterized. That was the play of the game. So anyway, we are more convinced after yesterday in the recent 5-game stretch where they've won, the Bucks can come out of the East, say, today than we were 2 weeks ago.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm not more convinced, but I am. They stabilize themselves, and I think the East is now more interesting. If they play motivated like this, there was a lot of and the stats won't show you this, but unselfishness and team defense and, you know, great ball movement. They were consistently taking the best shot as opposed to just a shot. Mm-hmm. I forgot what game. I was watching a game on NBA TV this morning, BT. I was just sitting in my office.
Yeah.
And it was gross. It was 4 minutes of going up and down the court, take two dribbles, shoot a three-pointer.
Yep.
I think it was the Heat. It was the Heat and the Jazz, I believe. Yeah, Heat and the Jazz. Maybe it was the Nuggets. I can't remember who they were playing. But it was just ugly basketball. But contrast that to what I saw with the Bucks. Mm. They were focused and dialed in, which is something they weren't showing during that five-game losing streak. So if they play like this, I mean, yeah, they can win in the seven-game series, but we still got to see that.
Yeah, my answer is out of bounds. I'm not more convinced. I mean, I might be maybe a little susceptible to the occasional hot take, but I'm not going to jump off my opinions that strongly. I mean, or that quickly, I should say, or strongly. Where, you know, last week I'm declaring the Bucks as a team that I don't think has what it takes to win the championship. I'm not going to overreact to, granted, nice win, higher profile, national TV, ABC. I got it. We're watching. It's good. But Paul George was horrendous. Was he 7 for 21, mm-hmm. 2 for 10. At points, looked disengaged. His handle was a slop fest. And I say that because I don't believe that is the barometer of championship possibilities. Let me see him play against the Nets when the Nets are fully healthy. Let me see against the Lakers with LeBron and obviously AD back. And I want to see him play the Utah Jazz full strength for a full 48. The Clippers are good, but they're flawed, man. They are a little more flawed than we give them credit for, if you will. I'll put credits around that or quotes around that. I liked what I saw from Giannis a lot, and I want to give him props, and he stepped up in the fourth quarter, and I've been critical. But one game does not change a narrative. I need to see consistent buckets in the fourth quarter. I need to see consistent, calm free throws. And until I see that, I'm not going to change my opinion. And by the way, even if I do see that, I still think they're deficient. That second star. But, I mean, that's a different conversation for a different day. Impressive win, but no, I'm not changing my opinion.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
That block, Teak, that was as impressive as it gets. Usually, like, blocks are when somebody comes in with the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
You very, and I'm trying, like, in my mind's database of 35 years of really watching the NBA every night. It's very rare, maybe a guard, and even that's rare. It is rare when you see a big cock it back with two and get rejected at the rim, not from behind. Not even from necessarily the weak side, although Giannis moved over a little bit from that was sick.
Yeah, well, the problem is most of the time defenders they don't want to be posterized, like they don't want to be in the picture.
Hey.
So they get out of the way. Giannis, not only did he not get out of the way, like the precision with which he blocked that,
it was
no skin like at all. He got straight on the ball, and then maybe he got a little skin afterwards. But I mean, it was just a great block.
I don't know. All right, prisoner of the moment. I don't know if you'll see a finer defensive play all year as you really incorporate the different aspects of that play, all that stuff. Anyway, that's it on the TV side. Athletes Unlimited Volleyball. So if you're getting ready for that, you're in luck. That's coming up next on the Tube. Teak and I radio the next 2 hours of the show here. Drew Brees gearing up. Mac Jones shooting up the draft board TV. We'll see you tomorrow. Radio, we'll catch you next hour.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.